how the church is to treat visitors and guests. Well, interestingly enough, there is a certain amount of instruction and information in God's Word, both Old Testament and New Testament, enough for us to conclude that this is a subject that God cares about. And if God cares about it, then we ought to care about it too. In the Old Testament, there are several references to strangers and foreigners. Some translations use the word sojourners. Most of those references to strangers and foreigners, contrary to what a lot of folks think, are not negative. Often we think in terms that God's instruction to Israel was, of course, to withdraw from all foreigners and have nothing to do with those of other nations, but actually that's not the bulk of what God said about strangers. God did give some very clear and specific instructions to His people in that day regarding those kind of associations that would lead to intermarrying, and of course, as was demonstrated in on so many occasions, the intermarrying led to the sharing of pagan gods and worshiping idols and so forth. And God warned about those kind of things, but that is not the main burden of God's instruction to His people in the Old Testament regarding strangers and foreigners. Many things that He said about strangers, travelers, sojourners, foreigners were matters and instructions that were directed toward the proper treatment and the right kind of consideration to those people. There were certain provisions made in the Mosaic Law that demanded a certain kind of consideration for those who were not Israelites. For example, in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 9, God's law said, "You shall not oppress a stranger, since you yourselves know the feelings of a stranger, for you are also strangers in the land of Egypt." There are several other references where God made the direct connection with the fact that He wanted His people to treat foreigners in the right way, and even those who were considered to be captives, because one time you were captives, one time you were strangers in the land of Egypt. In the New Testament, we find God just as concerned. In fact, in Matthew chapter 25, when Jesus depicts the judgment scene and He tells of how there'll be that great separation, those on the right and those on the left. Those on the right were acceptable. Those on the right were the ones who had done the things that the Lord was pleased with. The ones on the left had not done those things, and therefore they were sent away into eternal destruction. One of the things that He mentioned specifically in both cases, "I was a stranger, and you welcomed me." Verse 35. Verse 43, "I was a stranger and you did not welcome me." And then we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verses 20 to 25, though Paul is giving some clear and specific instructions concerning the use of spiritual gifts in the first century, and particularly the exercise of those miraculous gifts during worship assemblies, he makes a particularly pointed case as to the importance of the impression that might be made on outsiders and unbelievers who are in the assembly when some begin to speak in tongues and no one is there to interpret. It goes very clearly that God is concerned for the impression that we make on those who might be considered outsiders. For the next few minutes, I'd like for us to focus on this as we think about the right kind of impression that we need to make on visitors, and particularly how to welcome visitors when they come to our assembly. Now, let me tell you right now, there's nothing new in what I'm about to share with you. In fact, some would say, you know, you've wasted your time in preaching this sermon at Redland Road because it's one of the friendliest congregations I've ever seen. And I love hearing that. I hope that will always be the case. But you know, even among a friendly group of people such as us, there are always going to be a handful of old fuddy-duddies who need to be reminded every now and then. It's really important for us to make the right kind of impression upon those who are visiting in our assemblies. Not an impression for the sake of our own glory, but an impression for the glory of God. And an impression so that they will want to return and be with us again. We want visitors, especially those who are not members of the Lord's church, we want them to see a demonstration of the proper concept of the body of Christ. How should we welcome visitors? Here are five good things that I think we need to remember. Number one, begin in the parking lot. You know, I'm not sure what it is, but it's generally the case, even at friendly places like this, that we have a tendency to kind of bunch up right inside the door. So that if people could really see through the door clearly, they might look and become a little bit apprehensive with this gauntlet that they're about to have to run as soon as they go in the door. Here's an idea. How about a couple of you fellows who are always in the foyer, step out on the front porch. Be there to open the door and greet someone when they come. You know, it's a lot easier to speak to someone and greet them as you're doing something for them at the same time. And so open the door, hold the door for them. It's sometimes a little bit overwhelming when a visitor walks into our foyer and is immediately set upon by 10 or 12 people. Now, it's difficult for me to even mention that because it all comes from a very good intention. But sometimes maybe one of the best things we could do is spread out a little bit. How many times have you driven up to a strange church building, gotten out of your automobile in the parking lot about the same time that someone else, a regular member, is getting out of their car and walking to the door, and it's almost like they try to outrun you to get in the door because they're a little uncomfortable about speaking to you there in the parking. Folks, there's no better place than in the parking lot to greet visitors. You've established a relationship before you even get inside the building. I walked out on the porch this morning. Totally deserted out there. In fact, it was so unusual for me standing out there, I noted the fact that I've rarely seen the building from that perspective. I park over on the side, and I rarely have an occasion to go out the front doors and certainly don't stand around on the porch very much. And, you know, since we completed the building in the parking lot, when I got a good look at everything, I haven't really paid much attention to the front anymore. It was so unusual that when I walked back in from outside, I can't remember who it was, but one of the fellows out there in the foyer says, "What's going on out there?" Like, you know, there's something wrong with somebody standing out on the porch. Now, if we're all standing out there to get the last puff off of a cigarette, like I've seen some do in places, you know, that'd be the wrong idea, the wrong impression, but it might be helpful to extend our welcoming party a little bit outside the doors, especially on beautiful weather days like we've had today. Escort them in. There is just something about the kind of impression that someone gets When you meet them outside the doors and you come in the door with them, you've already learned their name and you turn to one or two that are in the foyer. Hey, this is so. I sat in the board meeting at Faulkner University on Friday, and those board meetings are run in a very official way, and the chairman of the board always gets up and said, these meetings will be conducted according to the rules of according to the dictates of Robert's Rules of Order. And I thought, you know, this old Robert guy, whoever he was a stuffy rascal, wasn't he? You know, we don't have to be that way when it comes to welcoming members or welcoming guests into our assembly. There are no written rules. There's not really even an established protocol. So use your imagination. Think about some friendly things that you can do, and gestures that will be well received by those who come to our assembly. Let's move on inside the building now. Work hard inside the building to make our guest feel welcome. I'll say right here at the outset that many here are really, really good about this. In fact, as I've already said, this is one of the friendliest congregations you'll ever find in that regard. I've been told that many, many times. But we need to do better. We can always do better. I guarantee you there are always a select few that you can close your eyes and you would know that if a visitor walked in, they'd be on them in a heartbeat. To express their welcome, their concern, and their kindness to them. Now, some of us, I understand, you know, don't travel around as well as we used to, not quite as mobile as we'd like to be, and so, you know, there are a few of us who feel like we've just got to get to our spot and you know, camp, get our territory established and all that, because after all, we've worked hard to get here, and, you know, you know what I'm saying. We really don't need to be known as the place where half of the members in our assembly are some of the friendliest people you ever saw. The other half are sitting in their spot waiting for whatever's going to happen. Have you noticed we've got three doors? I can tell you for sure that that door over there gets a higher percentage of visitor traffic. In and out. You know, that's my territory back there after services are over. And I've noticed that there are a lot of folks who seem to really purposefully go out the side door. I'm not so sure that there's a real reason for that. I've seen some folks, I think, who parked over here, but they still go out that door because I'm standing there in the middle. But actually, you know, it would be good if we could kind of, again, spread out inside the building. It is a normal thing for a lot of visitors, guests, to come in kind of at the last minute. And there have been a lot of occasions when someone would come in right at the last second and they're first out the door and gone, and we haven't even been able to figure out who they are, where they're from, or anything like that. And there's a certain amount of that there's just really nothing we can do about it. But I certainly appreciate those who are especially seated toward that end of the auditorium who seem to always have an eye out for those people and try to get back there and welcome them and invite them back. I hope that everything that we do, everything that's said from up front here is done and said in a way that leaves a good impression and helps people to want to come back. But there is no replacement for one-on-one contact that can be made either when they come in or as they're going out. We've all been visitors to places where we said, whew, that was the coldest place I've ever seen. And I don't mean the thermostat either. I mean the atmosphere, the attitude. It is a fact that most of us do have a comfort zone. And sometimes we may be guilty of kind of being a slave to our comfort zone. And we sometimes offer those excuses. I don't do well with strangers. I'm real uncomfortable. I'm kind of shy talking to people that I don't know. Venture out of that comfort zone. There's no other way around it. I could tell you names and stories, many of who are associated with this congregation and have been for years and years, people who have made a conscious effort to do things, particularly in this regard, that they're just really not that comfortable with. It pays off. And the sacrifice of a little bit of comfort usually pays big dividends in the good impression we make on those who are visiting with us. Number three, be positive and smile. Now listen, I understand that everybody is entitled to a bad day every now and then. I mean, you know, everybody ought to be allowed one every 5 years or so. But look, some of us need to work hard. And I said us there, and you can underline the us, because I've been told that I've sometimes got the unfriendliest facial expressions that anybody's ever seen. And you know, it's something I've been living with for a long time. You'd think by now I'd overcome it. You've noticed, I'm sure, that sometimes before we start, I'll stand up here at the front with my Bible in my arm, and I'm just looking out over the congregation, and it's not unusual at all for somebody who says, "What's wrong? Who are you watching for? Are you about to bolt out the door?" We do all need to be a little bit more pleasant if we can. I promise I'll work on that if you will, because I've reminded myself of it again. I hear people sometimes say, "Well, you know, I'm not a morning person. I'm not good at being friendly early." Seriously now, 8:45 in the morning, that's early? That's almost lunchtime. Come on, wake up before you get here. One of the most basic of all things is a smile. It makes them want to come back. Think about it. When a guest arrives here, it means on some level they are interested in God. Let's be positive when we welcome them, because we certainly don't want to be guilty of discouraging any interest that they might have. I'm fixing to get in big trouble here with number four. Be flexible with where we sit. We're all creatures of habit. I get about as much time, or probably more than anybody, from this particular vantage point in this auditorium. And so if you were not here, I could walk around and I could write a name on a sticky note and I could put it on 90% of your places that you always sit and be correct. And there's nothing wrong with that. But you know what one of the most refreshing things that I ever see take place here is? After services, I'll go up to one of the greeters or maybe one of the elders or deacons, and I'll say, "Hey, where was so-and-so? They weren't here today." And they get this smug look on their face and kind of half grin and say, "Yeah, they were. They just moved. They were sitting over there at the other side of the auditorium now." There's nothing wrong with having your place that you're comfortable with. But you know, to some folks, it appears to be the makings of a fight if anybody ever sits down in their spot. And that's not really what we're about here. But here's another idea from a little different direction. You've met and greeted that person in the parking lot. You've walked with them up to the front door, held the door open for them. You've walked in with them and you've introduced them to a couple of the fellows who are standing in the foyer. You've helped their children find the right classroom. And then you go and sit near them. Maybe not right beside them on the pew, maybe right in front of them or right behind them. You've already established that relationship. You're their friend. You're that special person. And now you're right there close by. And they're not a stranger and a foreigner in the midst of an alien people. They're a guest. There's this new friend that they've met who'll be there with them through the whole service. That's a novel idea when you think about it. I realize there will always be some circumstances where that wouldn't be possible. But where it is possible, I have to believe that there would be an increased level of interest and a higher probability of that person being receptive to some further one-on-one conversation and a return visit. Lastly, let me suggest that we all need to be passionate in worshiping God. Ever been to a church service that was just kind of basically dead? I'm probably a loud singer. Compared to everybody here, well, except for one guy. And I've been to places as a visitor many times when I kind of had to tone it down because it seems like I was the only one singing, you know? And that kind of makes me uncomfortable when a guest comes to our assembly. They ought to not only receive a heavy dose of friendliness and a warm welcome, but they ought to be able to observe some heartfelt worship. Engaged, involved participation on the part of the regular membership. What kind of impression would we make if we didn't participate but just sat doing nothing during the whole assembly? What kind of impression would we make if it almost looked like we didn't even know what a Bible was? Forget how it makes the preacher feel. I think one of the best things for a visitor to see is a regular member of a congregation sitting with an open Bible on his or her lap during the sermon. We need to be passionate in worshiping God because God deserves no less than our absolute best. But the passion and the fervor with which we engage in worship services also makes a very strong impression on those who come as our guests. We all need to be a living demonstration of in spirit and in truth. Well, these are just my top five. I've got 56 more, but we won't cover those tonight. As I said, I've reminded you of some things that you already know, and for the most part, that we do a pretty good job of here. Let's don't drop the ball. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and sing this song.